and prayer for us, if you would.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Father, we just praise you today. We thank you, Lord.
Yes.
We rejoice in you, Lord. And Father, we just know and thank you that where two or more are gathered, you are there in the midst. And so, Father, we just pray that right now, Lord, that you have your way in this service today and in the service to come.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, that that you would give us ears to hear. Anoint our ears, Lord. Let us hear the words of life that you so freely give us. And Father, allow those words to find fertile ground, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask you to bless all my brothers and sisters here today. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just thought that I would go back over verse 3, and that way Rich can pick back up for next week without an interruption. You know, because I think he was pretty much done with verse 3, I believe. But
We could spend.
Oh yeah.
We could spend a month on each verse.
Yeah, you could.
It would take you decades to get through Revelation.
Pass one of those around to Kathy, if you would. We'll start off reading what I've got written down here. It says, and I'm going to start with reading with verse 2. It says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And verse 3 says, "He that sat was to look like a jasper, a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald." And, you know, I did a little word study on some of that. And that word there for like is, it has the meaning, the word is up there and it's on your paper there. But it means similar in appearance or character. So it's really talking about, he was revealing his character and the appearance and the character of what these stones represented. And the word jasper there, literally, I have some other reference stuff in there that gives you even the history of the stones in the Old Testament. And the word jasper there really is the equivalent to aquamarine. Okay? And there's actually a chart in the back that has first stones on it. So you can tell what they look like. Aquamarine is the one up in the left-hand corner at the top. And you can see that aquamarine is actually Martyr's birthstone. And it's literally a light blue color. And it's the color of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically he was saying his appearance, his character, his nature was like the sky. We know how vast the sky is. We know how vast God is. The sky, you can't go anywhere on this earth without what being above you.
Mm-hmm.
The sky is everywhere, and that's the way God is.
Amen.
And his character is like that. And, you know, let me read you the scripture down here. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says, 1:26 through 31, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, or not many that are noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it written, no flesh, No, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Okay? Now that next appearance up there was the Sardis stone, and that is the word for the Sardis stone equals garnet. Okay. If you look at your chart back here again, garnet is the first one on the right hand side, the first row on the right hand side. It's a bright red stone. Okay? And if you want to see how I came up with that being a garnet, you can go back in this reference material here. And if you go back to your next to the last page there, you will see that the 12 stones throughout the ages, what they were represented at, the next to the last page. Okay? And if you follow across, the next to the last page, you got a different page there, Brenda, than what it is, actually is. Next to the last one. It should be one that's
last.
12 precious stones
next
throughout the ages.
There.
Unless I got you, I might have you mixed up. It's this one here, the one that 12 precious stones throughout the ages.
But December is.
Okay. And then if you follow across, you'll see that the Hebrew word was Odom. And it goes across. It's Sardis, Sardom, Sonix, Sardonyx, Sardis, Sardis, Sardis. And it's, I don't know how you pronounce that, I guess that's Jasus's, and it's, and in modern day, it's garnet, see, okay? And if you look up here, garnet, the actual meaning for garnet as a birthstone is consistency and protection, and it's right red, you know. And in Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And Ephesians 1:7-10 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made, he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are in earth. Okay? So, you know, if you, like I say, if you look back there, you can see what a lot of these stones actually look like in modern day, you know, which that'll help you in your further study and when we study through these various stones, you know. And then Ephesians 1:7-9 says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood is poured out on the altar of the cross, and we're free people, free of penalties, punishments, chalked up by our misdeeds, and are not just barely free, but either abundantly free. Mm-hmm. He thought of everything to provide for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ. And in Ephesians, there again, reading it in the King James, and in the Message, that was in the Message. And verse 10, it says, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in the deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before the first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us and had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. And then the emerald, the meaning for emerald is love. That's what an emerald signifies, love. And it says, for God, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, in Romans 8:31-32, it says, what shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that separated not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not freely give us all things, you know. In Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. John 15:13-17, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Wow. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, and he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Okay. Now, there's a sheet in there that gives you each one of these stones of the birth stones, and a lot of the birth stones coordinate right with what was on the breastplate in modern days of what was on the breastplate back in the Old Testament. In January, it's the garnet and its consistency. In February, it's the amethyst. Yeah. and the meaning for that one is sincerity. In March, it's the bloodstone or the jasper. It's the bloodstone or the aquamarine, and it stands for wisdom. And April, it's the diamond, is innocence. May, it's the emerald, and it's love. June, it's a pearl or moonstone or alexandrite, and it means wealth. July is ruby. And it means freedom. And August is the sardonyx or a peridot. It means friendship. September is a sapphire. It means truth. October is opal or tremoline. It means hope. November is a topaz. It means loyalty. December is a turquoise or zircon, lapis or lazuli. I guess I can pronounce that. And it stands for success. But you can see how a lot of those stones were, you know, are modern day things. There's 12 birth stones, and there was 12 in there. And if you turn to the third page, it will tell you the traditional stones of the tribes of Israel and give you the name of each one of them. And you have to realize that some of these words here translate into these stones that you see on the other here, you know. And if you go with Reuben, it was blood red. Simeon was yellowish green, which would be peridot. If you go with Levi, it was emerald. If you go with Judah, it was the carbuncle, and it was an amethyst and a garnet. Dan was lapis, sparkling blue. Nephalti was crystal, sparkling clear, so that would have been probably a diamond. Gad was, I don't even know how exactly you pronounce that, Jazzesis? It's fiery yellow. Asher was agate, banded colors. Issachar was amethyst, modern amethyst. Zebulun was
Citrine.
Yes, citrine yellow. It's a yellow, a clear yellow.
November.
And Joseph was onyx. It was brown and white, layered. And Benjamin was plasma, green translucent. So, you know, you can see that. And if you look, like I say, this is just some general information for us to talk today. I'm tongue-tied here. That's just some general information for you. And as we study through all these different stones, as we go through them, because we'll be getting back into them different times, because last week we talked a little bit about the rest plate and what was on the breastplate, and these will help you if you kind of hang on to these and look at this, and then you can look over here and see what the modern equivalent of those are on this page where it says the 12 precious stones throughout the ages, you know. So now, did anybody have any questions? I know you guys probably had some questions from last week, and I wanted to give you this information because it's some information that as we go through these things, it will help you a lot. And, you know, I happen to have quite a few reference books at home on a lot of the old stuff, you know, so that's what, how I can tell you what a lot of this stuff is, you know. But anybody have any questions or anything you wanted to say? So really, when you think about it, when you look at it, you're talking about the jasper, and if the jasper was aquamarine, it's wisdom and sincerity. We know that all wisdom and all knowledge is hidden in Christ, and we know that we're complete in Him. So literally, you have all wisdom and all knowledge dwelling inside of you. The only thing is that we don't always tap into it and don't always listen to what it tells us at times, you know. In the modern times, Solomon was the wisest man, supposedly the wisest man to ever live, you know. But yet, Jesus told him that, Solomon was not arrayed like the lilies, and he's greater than Solomon was here, which was him, because he was all wisdom. So literally that verse 3 is talking about, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, and, you know, Him being the wisdom and Him being the blood of Christ, and Him being, the emerald, which literally is, you know, is the love of God. So we know He was the love of God revealed, you know. So, but I wanted to give you that extra information so that you could just hang on to it and look through it. And as you study in the scriptures and look at the various, various different places where it talks about the stones, you're going to see it'll talk about in the Revelations when you get into later chapters. It'll talk about the foundation stones, and it'll talk about the foundation people, you know. And there's a lot of beautiful truths back there when you get there. And but hopefully some of this will help you as far as when you study into these things a little bit, and as we go through it, maybe you can even reference some of the stuff and have a little bit more understanding about what exactly some of these stones even signify, you know.
Just further confirms that nothing with God is by chance.
Mm-hmm. No.
Everything has a plan and a purpose. Right. Everything has a meaning. Names have meaning. Right. Stones have meaning. Right. That breastplate of the high priest.
Right.
It's not by chance and by accident. The design of it, the order of it, and the stones that were used in it. And it's not by chance. Right. It's not by accident. It's just amazing how no man on earth could have ever put this thing, the Word of God, together. There is no way, because it is just so perfect. When you take something that happened 100, 300, a millennium ago, and you bring it into modern day, and it fits.
Yeah.
Only God could do that.
Yeah.
You know, and only God could put all these things together in the proper order.
Thank you. And see that breastplate was that literally the high priest was carrying. Yes. Each one of those stones had the name of one of the sons engraved upon it. Now, I don't know about you all, but I know modern day, if you look at some of the precious stones, they're pretty daggone hard. And even that they could engrave the name upon them stones is pretty amazing when you think about it. So I think even that was probably a little bit supernatural. God did something there, because try to write a name on a diamond. It's the hardest material basically known to man.
You use a diamond insert on certain metals, that's what it takes to cut.
And if you realize that all of these different stones had a significance, and then the names of all of the 12 original tribes of Israel, they all had a significant name. They all had a meaning, you know. And when you come to realize that, it just blows you away sometimes when you think about how perfectly God lined everything up. Mm-hmm. And he hides these things, to be honest with you, Scripture says he hides these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. And I know years ago, Rich, a few years ago, we studied into the 144,000 in Revelation, the 12 tribes as they were listed there. And years ago, one of the second times that I ever spoke in this church, one of the very second times, I never had studied into the book of Revelations back then. I mean, you know. So where does God take me? Into the book of Revelations. To that 6th and 7th chapter of Revelations. And he had me looking at the those 12 tribes. And he had me looking at their names that were written there, the 144,000. And a lot of churches try to talk like that's a literal 144,000. Well, it's not. But he began to show me that each one of those names signified something that we had to go through, yes, a nature or a character or something that we would have to go through, you know. And the first thing I noticed when I looked at them back there, they weren't in the order of their birth listed in Revelations. God is a God of order. You know, God is a God of order. He does things in an orderly manner. So the first thing I looked at, when I looked at that, I thought, well, God, why is that out of order? And then I felt like he had me look at the meaning of their names, you know, and I went down and looked at the meaning of their names. And he actually, if you go and you look at the meaning of their names, you find out that he's telling you a story there. He's telling you what you must do. He's telling you things that you're going to have to go through, you know. And it's kind of neat how God does things. But here he took me to that, and I went into that. And the first thing I noticed when I looked into it, like Rich said last week, was that Dan was missing. And I said, okay, Lord, why is Dan missing? Well, I looked into the scriptures and I began to study into the name. Dan's name meant judgment.
Mary judgment.
So what does that mean? That means that 144,000 were going to have their father's name written in their forehead, and they were going to be sealed. And he said, hurt not the earth until I've sealed my servants in their forehead. You know, what was he talking about? He's talking about until they've come to realize, mm-hmm, what I'm really doing here, mm-hmm, what this thing's really all about. And see, that's the neat thing about how God does stuff. He does stuff in such a manner to where he's constantly revealing things to us, and he's constantly opening things up to us. And he doesn't do it because we're smart, or he doesn't do it because I'll tell you what, some of the greatest Bible teachers that there is, as far as education-wise, don't know half of what God has shown us. They don't know a third of what God has shown us. Because that scripture I read you before, he hides these things from the wise and the prudent. Not many are called which are super intelligent or super educated or any of these things, and he reveals them to babes. And why is that? Because that way you can't glory in yourself. You have to glory in the Lord. You can't get puffed up and say, oh my God, I know a lot of stuff. Yeah, you don't. What happens is the more God reveals to you, the less you realize that you know. And I've said this before, and I say it, I mean it, but I don't mean it, because I wouldn't give anything that God's ever shown me away and take it, have him take it away. But I've said I would gladly trade what I know for what I don't know. Because I know there's so many things that God hasn't opened up yet. And I don't mean it in the sense that I would ever want to give away the things that God has really shown me. But I'm just going to tell you, that's why each and every day you have to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do today? What do you want to open up to me today? What do you want to show me today? And when you read scripture even, you need to say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me out of this scripture? And you know, he might tell you one thing one day, and then another day you might read that scripture and he'll tell you something else. But it won't be something that'll do away with what he told you the day before. It'll just be something that will build upon it, see? It's like building blocks, you know. And, you know, that's one thing I can say of the truth, and I thank God for that. I've not had to go back and undo things that God has shown me in the past. Because if you only share what he shows you, then you know what? It's not gonna be obsolete. It's gonna just build and build and build. And that's what he's doing until we come to the full revelation of who and what he is in our lives, you know. But if any of you got any questions or anything you want to ask, please go, feel free. I just wanted to go back and touch on a couple of these things and give you a chance to have some reference material to go back and look at some of these. Now some of these names here are things that you can't really it's hard to translate into today, you know. Like this page where it shows the traditional stones of the tribes, you know, like a plasma stone. Green translucent, you know. Well, if you look at that and you go to the back and look and see what's green and translucent there. Peridot, yeah. See? And then look at the meaning of peridot. Friendship. What does scripture say about Jesus? He's a what that sticks closer than a brother?
Friend.
He's a friend. And you know what? We have to be friends to everybody we come in contact with. If we don't put forth the effort to be a friend with them, guess what? They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to talk to you. If you come at, you know, I've seen people try to go and witness to people, and they'll witness in such a way that what they're doing is starting an argument with somebody. That's why last week, that message that I shared last week about literally we have to learn to be all things to all people. See? And what does that mean? That means that if you're talking to a Baptist, don't try to hit a Baptist over the head with something super deep that's way beyond where they're at. Begin to talk to them about the love of God. Begin to talk to them about the salvation of God and various things like that. Build a relationship. And then when you've built that relationship, then line upon line, precept upon precept, you can begin to reveal a little here and a little there and a little somewhere else. See? You know, I went to a meeting one time, and this was people who have deeper truths, supposedly. There was a bunch of them. And you know, this meeting I went to, this one guy come in there, he didn't have a Bible. It was a Bible study. He didn't have a Bible. He says, well, I'm past that. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is going to be good. He's past that. He don't need that Bible anymore. I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to be good. And you know, he kept talking. And he said he was getting ready to go down to Louisville and minister down there. And he says, yeah, I'm going to go in there. And he says, I'm going to tell them this. And I'm going to tell them. And he starts telling them things he's going to tell them. And he says, and I know they'll never invite me back. And I said to him, I said, brother, why in the world would you do that? I said, why don't you go in there and minister to them on the level that they're on and take them a little bit higher, get invited back, go back and minister to them again and take them a little bit higher. And each time you go back, take them a little bit higher. I said, after a while, I said, you'll get them up there. But if you go in there and try to hit them over the head with these way out there doctrines, I said, they'll never talk to you again. The door is absolutely shut. You will never be able to get back in there.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right. That he said it. He even said it himself. I know they'll never invite me back. And I thought, why would you do that? You know, I mean, you know, when you realize that he builds in us line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why if God totally revealed himself to you in all of his glory all at one time, your flesh would die.
Yeah,
it could not stand the glory.
Couldn't handle.
That's why Moses had to God had to cover him, and as his glory went by, he saw the hinder parts of God. You know. That's why, literally when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, that was glorious. Mm-hmm. And they fell down and became undone. That's mm-hmm. what happens when the glory of God really begins to reveal itself to you. But, you know, instead of them wanting to build those three tabernacles, all of a sudden, the voice of God spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, hear you him. And it said they saw no man except Jesus only. And there's no other way, you know. And if they're preaching Jesus out there, even to contention, and even preaching Jesus in an argumentative way, be glad that they're at least preaching Jesus. You know what I mean? That's what Paul said. He said, hey, I'm just happy that they're preaching Jesus. And but see, if we fellowship with people on the level of love and on the level of compassion, we won't try to hit them over the head with something that they can't take. You know, you don't give a steak to a baby. And that's not exalting yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give a steak to a baby, you know, back in the old days, I'll tell you what they would have done. Back before they had baby food. Now, you know, you all don't know this. Mm-hmm. But back before they had baby food, you know what they did? Mommy chewed it up.
Yeah.
She chewed it up and got it all mushy and then took it out of her mouth and fed it to the baby. Now that sounds nasty, but it's not. Because I got news for you. If you're going to have the love nature of God and you're going to reveal it to people, you need to chew it up and get it down to a level where they can receive it and then feed it to the baby.
That's good.
And after a while, the baby will grow some teeth. And when the baby grows some teeth, he can chew it up for himself then. But while he ain't got no teeth, you need to, and you know.
I've done that.
But realize, folks, that what, even in this class in here, this is a deeper class. I mean, we speak some deeper truths in here. And you know, but anything that you don't understand, don't be afraid to ask a question. Don't be afraid to ask. Because, to be honest with you, if we can't explain it enough mm-hmm. to where you can understand it, then we shouldn't even say it. Because mm-hmm. we're going way out in the wild blue yonder if we can't explain it, you know.
I have something.
Go ahead.
Okay, so as obviously when we're reading this and we're saying yes in the Hebrew word, this means this, and sometimes we don't have we don't have the full meaning of the word because we can't translate it very well when there's only so many words we can use for translations. I think
right.
that's why we have so
right.
many different versions, which is nice. But when we're coming to these tribes, I always thought this was all hocus pocus when it came to, yeah, you're a Capricorn in this, you know, and what is it, your horoscope? I mean, obviously they must have gotten it from the word,
Well,
or how, I mean, how are we getting these saying, yes, this is sapphire, this is what it means,
yeah,
in scripture,
yeah,
based on the tribes? Like, when we're looking at, let's just pick the first one, Reuben,
uh-huh,
the tribe of Reuben. Where is in the tribe of Reuben is it saying that, yes, this is the stone and this is...
Well, it tells you in the Old Testament when it tells you about the breastplate that the,
mm-hmm,
high priest was to wear, and it tells you about the stones.
Okay, good.
Some of those words are hard to translate into modern terms,
right,
at times. But that's why this here, this page here I gave you, it says the 12 precious stones throughout the ages.
Okay.
Yes. And if you read at the top, it will give you the Hebrew word there.
Okay.
The first line going down.
Yes.
The second line, it'll tell you what the Mosaic Jewish translation called those things. Then it goes across, it tells you what the Septuagint Greek, what it called those,
mm-hmm,
things. It'll tell you what Josephus called those things.
Mm-hmm.
Josephus was a historian that wrote during the times of Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll tell you the Vulgate Latin, and it'll tell you the Authorized Version, it'll tell you the Revised Standard Version, and it gives you dates, see, of when those were written. And then it'll tell you, like over here, it tells you the foundation stones that are in the New Testament in Revelations. Then over here, it gives you the modern birthstones that are the equivalent to those various ones, see? That's why I gave you this stuff, to help you get a little bit of an understanding when you see these stones, what they're about, and what they represent. See, in the Old Testament, they represented something. Every time that the high priest went in before God, he was taking the 12 tribes of Israel in there with him.
Okay, so if I'm reading the Bible in a year right now,
uh-huh,
I'm going to eventually get to these, hopefully, and I'm going to see that, yes, this is the stone, and I can look at this chart and it's going to go, oh, there it is.
Uh-huh.
Because maybe that's when the Lord
If you're reading in the Old Testament,
right,
you will. Then when we get up into Revelations, into the last chapter, the last couple chapters,
yeah,
where it starts talking about the foundations, and the,
okay,
foundation, it'll talk about these stones again, up there, and then you'll be able to go back and look at some of this stuff. If,
okay,
if you want to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to understand this.
Right.
I'm trying to study to show myself approved,
right,
a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Now see, it takes God. The Holy Spirit is the one sent to lead and guide you into all truth. If anybody had told me years ago that I would have all the information that I've got, and all, I would have never believed it. I would have never, ever believed it. Because I'm not super educated, and I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't go to any of those things. I'm going to tell you where I went. To the feet of Jesus. And sat at the feet of Jesus. And I told him from the very beginning, Lord, you have to teach me, you have to lead me, you have to guide me. When I'd read the Bible, I'd say, I don't know what this means.
Right.
And you know what? He started revealing things to me, what things meant. And that's what the Holy Spirit was sent to lead and guide you into all truth. But this stuff here is just some things that as you run across this stuff and in our future studies, even up in Revelations, if you ever go back into the Old Testament and you begin to study about the high priest back there,
mm-hmm,
and about the breastplate, and see, if you realize he wore an ephod and he had the breastplate on his chest, and he wore it when he went into the Holy of Holies, and he had what was called the Urim and the Thurim, and that's how they got their answers from God. And the Urim and the Thurim would answer them when they asked God a question. And the word Urim and Thurim means lights and perfection.
So when it was being revealed, and they look up and...
Well, they would come with questions before the Lord when they had a question. Like, should we go out to battle? Should we do this? Should we do that? And the high priest would, if a prophet didn't come and tell them, you know, the high priest would put that before the Lord. he was supposed to go in really and stand before the ark is what he was supposed to do. And it would, the Urim and Thummim would light up, yes or no, you know. It would, apparently light would come on in the stones and let them know. And then on their shoulders, they had onyx on their shoulders and had six names of six of the tribe and six names of the other. And today, you know, God will have the priests, which are you all, because you're kings and priests unto God. He will have you carry the body of Christ and the people that you love on your shoulders before the Lord. You know.
I want to just understand the Old Testament, like when you were explaining, like when you have the that little chart you had where the guy was against the candlestick.
Yes. Candlestick and the table showbread.
Yeah, and you go in and then you have the pomegranates. So it's like, I want to know. I want to kind of see it visually
well,
in my head and going, okay. How the Lord going to bless it, because that's when he either accepted the tribes or not and said this is going to be a good year or not. And
well, if you want to talk about some of that, I can tell you there was an outer court.
Yeah.
And anyone could be in the outer court. There was an inner court, which was the holy place.
Right.
And in the holy place, well, in the outer court, they offered sacrifices out there. In the inner court, the holy place, was the table of showbread, there was the candlestick, and only the priest could go in there. Okay? Then there was a veil across the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the high priest could only go in there once a year. But he had to go in with a blood sacrifice. He couldn't go in without a blood sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. And when he went in, you know, when he went in with a blood sacrifice, he was to take the blood and to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, upon the Ark of the Covenant. The top of the Ark of the Covenant, the box, and really that word ark there, you might not like the meaning of that word. It means coffin. That's what it really means. If you look it up, it means coffin. But that particular word for ark means coffin. And on top of that was a lid, and it was called the mercy seat. And there was two cherubim facing inward with their wings outstretched over the center. And I don't believe you could see the faces of them. I believe they were like this, looking down on the mercy seat. And I feel like the Lord showed me in type and shadow what those were at one point. And I mean, you know, I don't know if I should get into that. I really don't have time to get into that.
Urim, you said Urim and Urim. What you said, lights and what?
Lights and perfection.
Right. And also I wanted to know, didn't you say later on you get into Revelation there's foundation people?
Yeah. The foundation, these stones will be represented in the foundation in the later chapters of Revelations. When we get back in the last few chapters of Revelations, you'll see that.
And everybody hang on to this when we get
there. Oh, man.
Did you say foundation people?
Well, they're going to be foundation. The foundation, you'll find out when we get back there, is the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. Then the gates are going to be the 12 apostles.
All right, then.
And I actually spoke of that one time years ago.
We talked about were there pillar people.
Please.
Pillar.
Yeah, that'll be in your next chapter or so in Revelation. You'll get right up in that.
All right.
But a pillar, it's when Revelation says, "To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He'll go no more out. I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God." What he's really saying is when he says, "I'll write upon him the name of my God," I'm going to write upon him the character, the nature of God, and he'll go no more out. We go in and out still. What does a pillar do?
Stands.
Holds a structure up. What is a pillar founded on?
A good foundation.
Only the foundation. Who's the foundation? Jesus Christ. You want to find out if somebody's a pillar person? Ask yourself, How many times have you had to pick up them and support them? Don't they always seem to be the one that supports you? Do they seem to be the one that always wants to give you a hug or encourage you or call you and tell you that God loves you or whatever? That's the pillar people.
You can go to and talk to.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's a people. To him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. The name of my God, we know what his name is. It's Jesus.
Why?
It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the name of the city of my God is New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And it's the mother of us all, mm-hmm. Scripture tells us. And the word Jerusalem, if you really break it down, what it actually means is to point with the finger, to show forth, pray, to teach. It has that kind of meaning, to pour forth, to teach. So it's going to be a people that teach you how to grow up in God. Mm-hmm. That's what it really amounts out to, a motherhood nature, you know. And you read, I don't want to get too much back into that.
This is
all going to fall into what
this is all line upon line, precept upon precept.
There's a lot of things there.
If the hunger that's in this room is a wonderful thing, because trust me, all the hunger you have, Lisa, he's going to fill it. He's going to answer all those questions. You just stay hungry.
Yeah.
Right.
But see, you can't get them if you don't come. You gotta come, or you have to get on the internet. You gotta listen, but you can't. Or you get on.
I've been doing double duty.
But I'm just saying. But a lot of times, what will happen is the very question that you have will be answered the week that you're not here. That's the truth. Clyde told me one time. He said, Brother Oscar, when I was teaching at the other church, teaching Sunday school, he told me, he says, I had so-and-so say to me, they were having this problem, they were having that problem. He says, well, I told him, we weren't in Sunday school last week. I said, what do you mean? He said, you would have got all your answers last week, because we went over all that. But see, you can listen to it on the internet. You can go on the internet and listen to Sunday school class. It's on there.
Yep.
But you can't ask a question on the internet. You can't stop Rich and say, hey, Rich, explain this to me. You know, or somebody in the room, explain this to me, or whatever. And, you know, and I probably should more often in church sometimes just come out there and say, hey, guys, let's have some question and answer situations where you guys ask questions and we try to give you the answer. I mean, I don't have the answer to everything. Rich don't. None of the other brothers do. But God has shown us a lot of things, and we can probably answer a lot of the questions that you have, if we're given the opportunity. And did you have something real quick?
Well, how you were talking about, you know, not coming at people full force. And when I talk to people about God and Jesus Christ, I come at them as far as, I just say to them, God, in the simplest form, for just at coming at people that don't really, you know, have a good idea about God and Jesus Christ, I just come at them as God in its simplest form is good, orderly direction.
Yeah.
Doing right by people, and I explain that Jesus Christ was God's only Son, and he lived his life with unconditional love for everyone. And he died for our sins, and if you're really looking to find God, it all starts with good orderly direction and unconditional love. And it's a hard thing to do, to love every man unconditionally. But that's what Christ did. And God, you know, just in the simplest form, is just good orderly direction, doing the right thing, following your heart, following your conscience. You know, just
try. And you know, the thing about it is, it's like what we call the golden rule, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do unto others as you'd have them. Mm-hmm. You treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yep.
Be nice to people, even when they're not nice to you.
You never know what people.
And that's hard to do. And I say I do that all the time. Sometimes I get mad sometimes. Yeah. Somebody's messing with me or something. And occasionally I'll say something I shouldn't, and I walk away and I think, why in the world did I do that? You know, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have got angry. But you know what? I'm not perfect yet. I haven't come into the full perfection of God yet. I'm perfect as far as He's concerned.
Yep.
But as far as my total action in it, I'm not, you know.
Because you were, you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Well, some of my sermon's going to be a continuation
yeah.
of this.
Oh, praise the Lord. I like that.
Well, let's, Kathy, you close in a word of prayer for us, will you?
Sure. Father, we just love you this morning. And we thank you for your love toward us. We don't understand it all, but you know what? We don't have to understand it. We know in whom we have believed. And Father, no matter what, we will continue to believe you, to have faith, to have that birth hope in us. Father, we want to serve you with all of our hearts. We thank you for this day. Anoint Rich as he brings forth the word in the service. And help us, Lord Jesus, just to totally enjoy this blessed, warmer, sunnier day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Sunshine today.
I'm loving it.